Well, let's check the weather forecast on this Friday afternoon with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being with us. What's on your mind this week?
Well, Todd, the number one thing that's on my mind right now is this map I'm looking at, which shows the last 14 days of precipitation compared to normal. And I estimate that there's somewhere between 18 and 20 million acres of corn and soybeans that are in parts of Iowa, a big section of the northern half of Illinois, and parts of Indiana that have missed out on a lot of the recent rainfall, specifically between maybe a place just to the west of Bloomington, going all the way up Interstate 74 toward the Quad Cities and then into Iowa. And even though we had some rain across this area earlier in this week, the following days were in the middle to upper 80s, and we had some stronger winds, meaning we evaporated a lot of that moisture that fell early in the week out. We haven't seen much since then. Where the heavy rains have been tucked away in parts of Nebraska, western Iowa, a lot of Missouri, and the far eastern parts of Kansas, where they've seen some tremendous flooding, with some locations that are getting well over 10 inches of rain. And in the last month, we've been very wet from South Dakota through southern Minnesota and over into Wisconsin as well. So in other words, what I'm trying to say here is when I look at this map, I have a difficult time finding a large garden spot across the United States. I think it's important to understand that, especially as we start talking about this forecast, because for a big section of the Corn Belt, the next several days is going to be quite dry, whereas much of our heavy rainfall is going to be tucked away back in parts of the Central Plains, hitting regions that it's just recently hit quite hard. What I'm talking about here is really, again, parts of eastern Nebraska, southwestern Iowa, getting into western Missouri and eastern Kansas. So we're going to see several more days of drier and warmer weather across the eastern part of the Corn Belt. Now, our next chances of rain come through early next week. We're watching a Canadian storm track that might be draping a front over us, bringing us some widely scattered showers and storms. But this is where the debate really comes in, because when we look at our major modeling centers coming from the European model and also from the GFS, which is run here in the United States, there are some differences in the timing and precipitation amounts, with the GFS being a wetter model. So, of course, I'm right now rooting for the GFS, but in reality, I think that we're going to kind of tend to fall into persistence mode here and see some drier conditions continue for quite some time. But there is a chance around here in Illinois, eastern Illinois, for getting some thunderstorms early next week. So Monday, Tuesday timeframe, more likely into Tuesday. Now, outside of that, some of the bigger features that we are watching, first of all, that heat wave that we talked about hitting Europe, you know, this was more than a week and a half ago, that is now pushed a ridge that went over Scandinavia and then sat over Greenland. And Greenland has featured throughout much of the month of July a large ridge, and that's displaced a lot of our weather patterns across much of the North American region, and it's also brought in quite a bit of meltwater into the ice that sits on top of Greenland. So you might be seeing in the news over the next couple of days a lot of stories about how much has melted. Well, they've seen temperatures there that have gone way up into the 60s and 70s, and that's very, very warm, of course, of Greenland. But that has actually helped to stagnate the pattern across much of the Northern Hemisphere. And we're moving into what we call a negative EPO pattern into the North Pacific. Now, translation of that, ridge over Alaska, trough in the Gulf of Alaska. And that's a slower flowing pattern, which means that the pattern that we're going to be in here is not going to feature any major troughs sweeping through that are the type that bring us rain. Instead, broader troughing that sets up between the Great Lakes states and up there in the Hudson Bay in eastern North America. And the problem is that trough would be a bit to our east and north. And that's the wrong side of a trough to be getting, you know, decent precipitation. But it's to our west that's going to be getting it. So I'm worried about us continuing to stay on this drier streak as we move into the month of August. And that's a major concern I have. And I'll take the whole weekend, I think, to try to understand these model differences. Outside of that, the tropics are active on both sides of the United States. More active, of course, in the East Pacific. We do have two systems, one called Eric and another one called Flossie, that are moving toward Hawaii. They will miss Hawaii, but they will be providing some pretty amazing surfing conditions while some of the waves that will be anywhere between 10 and 15 foot swells. And in the Atlantic, while the African monsoonal feature is going and we're producing a lot of easterly waves, conditions have just not been conducive, and the timing has been wrong between these little African easterly waves and the upper level dynamics to really give us a robust system coming out of the Atlantic. So the National Hurricane Center has been showing decreasing probabilities of getting this system that's moving toward the Lesser Antilles to do much of anything over the coming days. And still, the southeast in today and tomorrow will be getting widely scattered showers and storms, some of which will produce a lot of heavy rainfall that are from this first remnant system that's really not much more than a broad circulation in the Atlantic. But it's that time of year that we got to be talking a lot about what's going on in the tropics. And with the overall slowing of the global winds and the weakening of El Nino, and even though they've made a little bit of a rebound recently, it's still not much to talk about. We're going to be having to watch to see the tropics and what it can do. Good news is nothing's coming out of the Gulf of Mexico right now. If I just bring up a couple of things globally that I'm thinking about, much of China's growing region is showing wet in the next 10 days, so that's important. The Indian monsoon is cranked up and really dumping a lot of rain there. We are watching the development of a couple of tropical systems south of Japan. We need to talk about those probably more next week to see if they develop and if they get stuck in the jet stream flow that goes across the open Pacific, because that could, of course, influence our pattern later. And finally, the European heat has broken down, of course. That's been going on for a while now. But what we've not seen much relief in is the much colder than average temperatures across the Russian wheat belt and parts of Ukraine, Turkey, and Kazakhstan. And that's been an interesting story because they started off the year hot and dry. So this has certainly been a summer that we are having a hard time finding really favorable weather patterns across North America and across the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. And so we'll keep an eye on it. We'll just keep talking every Friday so we can keep ahead of this.
You bet. Hey, thanks so much, Eric. Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.